Let's get together. Let's get together. Let's get together. Everybody, let's get together. Let's get together. Let's get together. Like family.
Welcome to Here I Am, a podcast that embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 9 of the Here I Am podcast. The music you just heard is called Together by Norman. If you listen through the rest of the episode, I'll play the rest of the song at the end. Each week I do choose new music to feature, so if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in the podcast, I'd love to hear it. So, hello everybody. I missed you last week. I've actually taken a week off the podcast to gather myself, rest, and give myself the space to absorb everything that's happening right now in the US and to start to understand the gravity of the tragedy that happened with George Floyd and so many other Black lives here in America with police brutality, and, you know, really absorb the gravity of what's been happening for a long time. So I'm back now and I'm happy to be back, but it is a learning process. And as an announcement, I will now be airing new episodes every other week. So that's just bi-weekly, to give more time for genuine and juicy conversations, because to me, sustainability is important and I want to make sure that I am delivering the best content to you all. So by giving myself an every other week kind of time this way, I think I've got a lot more energy and better guests. All my guests have been great, but I have the time to find the best guests possible for the best conversations possible. So I'm very happy to have it bi-weekly now. So over the last 2 weeks since I last talked to you all, I've also felt that there's a shift taking place and I wanted to feel into that. There's a shift that's happening towards, in my opinion, true change in society. I think we're at a really interesting time right now where people are aware and waking up to the reality of what's going on in politics, in government, in the society and the systems in America. And I think it's really, really important that we don't give up and that we keep listening, we keep tuning in, we keep tuning up ourselves, and we keep learning and keep talking to people about all this, keep sharing information. I think that's really important right now. And I think that's all part of the shift that's happening. And the shift, I think, couldn't have actually happened until something like COVID was there to pause us, to make us settle down, not be distracted by all of the things that we deal with in life, to actually have time to spend instead paying attention to things that we typically wouldn't have time for, quote-unquote time for. So I've been hoping actually for a shift like this, and I was hoping that I didn't know what would happen, but I knew with the pause of COVID, everyone was settling down and starting to realize something different was happening and starting to realize, you know, we all have these little moments of awareness that happens. And for me, to help make this shift a real thing and to turn the shift into a fully free, non-racist society, as the opportunity of this moment is to be, I knew that I had to be an active participant. And at first I was a bit, you know, in shock about everything and I didn't want to say anything because I didn't know what I was saying. And I still don't quite know what I'm saying, but I know now that I need to say something and I can't stay silent. So I want to use this podcast as a platform while I'm feeling passionate about this, and I'll probably update every so often, using this podcast as a platform for social justice, for environmental justice, for, you know, human rights, things like that, because that's all stuff that's really important to me. And I think that this stuff is worth talking about in a open way. So yeah, that's what I want to use this conversation for tonight. And I want to, yeah, we'll just explore that concept as we go. So I just want to say that I feel very compelled to learn, discuss, and grow right now. So that's what I'm going to use tonight's conversation with. And in my learning journey, I found myself really wanting to understand why we are in this moment right now. Why is the world how it is? I've got so many questions, like, why haven't I learned so much of the true history of this country? Why was so much information not in my textbooks, not in what my history teachers told me? And why do we all live in certain societal systems like colonialism, patriarchy, capitalism? How did that happen? Where did that start from, really? And why is it still continuing in our reality today? And why not some other way of doing things? Like, what is the reason? You know, what has perpetuated the white supremacy that rules this nation? What keeps it in place still? What kept it in place and what keeps it in place now? I want to know how we can learn from history so that we don't make the same mistakes that people in the past have made, so we can make new changes moving forward, but also informed by the past. And, you know, the old saying of history repeats itself. Well, I'm just curious, does it have to? So I know that these are all very big questions, and it will probably take me a while to figure it all out, but I wanted to bring in someone who's a little bit more of an expert than I am, because I am just learning right now. And I actually was able to find the expert to open up the conversation, and a good friend of mine, a new friend too, named Jean Albertson. Now, Jean and I met while volunteering for Green Gables in Melbourne, Florida, which is a historic home. It's built in 1896, I believe. And I could tell right away when I met Jean that he had a really interesting and cool way of thinking about the world. And even though our ages are very different, I had an inkling, like when I first met him, I was like, I don't know, this guy, we're going to be friends. I don't know what it is, but we're going to be friends. And I think I'm right so far. We've had great conversations, and I really think that he could add some real value to this podcast. So who is Jean? Well, this is Jean's little story about his life. So, born in the shadow of the Shrine of Democracy on the frozen tundra of the Great American Desert, Jean Albertson left his frontier world bound for the open seas, making his home in sunny Florida in 1989, he thawed his toes, raised two excellent daughters, and had adventures like he had only read about. Feeding a need to understand, Albertson studied and learned about history, humanities, people, and hot dogs in Jacksonville, Florida. Migrating to Melbourne, Florida in 2019, he is looking to use his array of skills and experience to have as much fun as he can and to help as many other people as possible. Albertson is an avid gardener who loves the earth. He enjoys playing blues recorder, thinking, entertaining bees, I should say, and learning new things with others. Now, Jean is a fantastic gardener. He knows lots and lots about plants and flowers. And I think that was when I knew we would be friends, is seeing him talk about flowers the way he did. I was like, this guy is cool. He thinks cool things about the world. Yes, he likes plants. We'll be friends. So luckily, I was able to sit Jean down for an interview with me this past Sunday. And I am so grateful once again for the conversation that we shared today. With so much on my mind and so much on everyone's mind right now, it was good to talk about a few things. So settle in, grab yourself a cup of tea, and enjoy a bit of Jean's wisdom. I hope you like his mind too. I also want to note quickly that I named a podcast that I mentioned in this podcast. I called it 1617. but I got the number wrong. It's 1619. That is the name of the actual podcast, and it's fantastic. Enjoy! Hello, Gene.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm good.
You're good? Mm-hmm. For everybody who's listening, we're actually recording this in Green Gables, which is a historic home in Melbourne, Florida, that Gene has been a part of. I've been a little bit of a part of helping to save it, so yeah. It's kind of cool. So, Gene, what do you think about the space we're in right now?
Well, it's awesome. It's an amazing piece of work. Beautiful art in itself. It's statuesque. It's picturesque.
Yeah.
It's homey. Feels good. Sounds good in here.
It does sound good. It actually sounds really good with this mic as well.
Yeah.
And so the cool thing as well about being in this house while we're recording this episode is that we are actually focusing the topic today on history and things like that, and we are in a historical home, so that's kind of interesting, kind
sure.
of cool, and an interesting space to be in to record this podcast. And it's funny because we're just looking for a quiet space, and we're in the dining room of this little place, or this big place, I should say,
yeah.
little big place. So Gene, so tell me about yourself a little bit, your background in history, and you know everything that you are and that you do.
Oh my goodness. Well, history, I was thinking about that just the other day, has been from my earliest times. Ever since I was a grade school child, my father was a teacher, and in the summers we went to the Black Hills, and he drove a tour bus and drove around to Mount Rushmore and all the historic places around town, in the hills. And if there was an empty seat to keep me out of trouble, a lot of times he'd take me along. And so I remember learning history as early as I can remember it. My first book report when I was in fourth grade was on Mount Rushmore, first ever written book report. I remember the story. It's a story from the 1800s written called Abandon Me. It's a story of Ben Franklin, and he was a great inventor, of course, in the American history. But in this fictional story, the mouse that lived in his house was actually the one that came up with the ideas and told Ben about them. And of course, Ben got the credit. It was a fun story, but it struck me how there's more than meets the eye when we're learning about history. And I recognized that with that story even as a child. And when I decided to go to college, and I started looking at my choices, and I chose history, it was just natural. It was excellent. So much about people. It just has always been a part of me. I went to school, became a historian, and I taught history. I've interpreted history. I've written history. I've created history. I've lived history. And I'm really excited, basically at this point, in this time and space, of having the background I do about what brought us here, and just watching what we're doing with it in our real-time world with the internet now.
Hmm.
It's just amazing. It's been said that history repeats itself, and those who study history are destined to watch it. And sometimes before I really kind of came to understand, it's excruciating. It's like, oh, we know this doesn't work.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We've done it before. Look. But it somehow gets lost in our busy world.
Yeah.
And so I've always been close to history.
Very interesting. There's a lot of things you mentioned there that like I definitely have a thought about what I'd love to ask you a question on. And one thing, that we had said before was, you know, we were talking in a previous conversation about history repeats itself and like, but does it have to sort of thing, or why does it repeat itself? And you had talked about, you know, it's good for people of different generations. We'd also talked about different generations living together and interacting and how important that is to pass on wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there's so many things we had talked about previously
sure,
that I'm like,
sure.
Oh gosh, we could totally bring this up right now. of why things aren't changing, or if they are changing, are they changing in similar ways as they used to, or how can, you know, informing ourselves about past events, past systems, past ideologies, things like that help inform us to say, well, this worked, this didn't work, this worked, but not in this situation, and this, you know.
So paying attention to our past and actually learning from it.
Yeah.
And going from there instead yeah. of repeating history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and learning, I think, the full history, too. Just this morning, I was listening on the drive over here to a podcast called 1617, and it was basically, the whole thing starts, like, when the first pirate ship brought the first batch of, group of Africans over to the coast and traded them for mm-hmm. something to keep the pirate ship going. So that was like the very start of the slave trade was in 1617. And so then the it's a New York Times podcast, and she basically goes, the narrator goes through the whole thing, the history. In one episode, she goes through so much history, and then she kind of dives deeper and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's just listening to that in itself, I'm like, there's so much in this, you know, a lot of history that hasn't been written down, a lot of history that has been written down and hasn't been told properly.
Exactly.
You know, there's things that have been said, things that have been written, things that have been done, and it's not been, I think, probably because, like, you know, how I said before, that history often seems like it's from the winner's point of view.
Exactly.
The person in power, they get to tell the story.
It's true, and I think a book that I read once that took that point to the bank was, it's called Lies My History Teacher Told Me.
Oh,
I
wow.
think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it was simply the fact that we are often taught history, and it's incorrect by omission. We'll say, oh, look, this is our history, this is really good, and we don't say that that's the only history, we just don't include everything.
Right.
And so the only thing we ever know is what we're presented with.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be kind of an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think back to myself and, gosh, growing up, like, I really didn't have the best history education in terms of, I feel like I really had teachers that were either unprepared or you know, I had no connection, therefore I didn't care,
right.
sort of thing, to different things were being taught. But a lot of it, you know, I really feel like there's a lot of historical things that I don't know about because either my history books only presented certain information and I didn't get the full scope, or because I, you know, didn't have... I feel like when people talk about different historical events, I personally, as a 25-year-old young woman, don't know nearly as much as I should about the history of where I live now, where I, you know, have traveled to, like, around the States and everything. I just really don't know.
And that's fairly common, I really think. And honestly, again, with the several hours of discussion we could do on this, it really comes down to, honestly, if we want to put it down to the single stroke of the pen, I think it was when we decided as a U.S. Department of Education we were going to educate the entire population in exactly the same fashion, with the same words, the same exact expectations. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a huge population of people with all kinds of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Well, with the history part, what happened was, in my generation, people, I was right on the middle there. People before me went to school and they learned... They took a history class, they took a civics class, they took an industrial arts class, they took these classes that were political science, economics, the different classes that after that became social studies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of evolved from these different subject matter information classes to more of a homogenized kind of mishmash of, this is your social expectations. Mm-hmm. All these different classes kind of coming into one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it evolved in the last 40, 50 years.
Right.
And with that came the internet as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where our learning came from, is from what we're presented on the internet. And so it also became a mishmash of just kind of a generalized expectation. And so you have probably a general knowledge of some basic events, but to really understand what brought into that,
mm-hmm.
we just don't have that. And a lot of people just don't have that understanding.
Yeah.
And that's why we just said earlier, you were asking me a few questions, we were talking about some things. I spent over 50 years studying my history and a decade in school studying it formally.
Yeah.
And if I could go ahead and give you everything I know, you know, in a 15-minute podcast, then we'd all...
Right.
But it's not realistic.
And that's something that's really interesting, too, is that with the events that are happening right now, I think a lot of people are wanting to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. And I personally really want to as well. And I get really overwhelmed of like, oh my gosh, where do we even start? Because there's so much, there's so many avenues and there's so many different events and so many different types of things that have gone on and so many different reasons why this happened and then this happened and then this for some so many different angles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is helpful to, you know, listen to a podcast where somebody has done a lot of research and they're able to kind of deliver like, here is a simplified version of what happened, so you can kind of start to digest it, you know. Yeah. But it's like there's so many like this, I really wanted this podcast to just kind of be the door opening to, like, sure, here's some of the things that you can start to learn on. Here's a start, the first steps for you to, you know, if you're listening to this, to go on to your journey of looking into our history. If you do want to make change, because I think, again, the reason why we're here today is we're talking about this so that we can equip ourselves to make better informed change and choices, sure, you know. What are your thoughts on, like, so you've taught history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... can you tell me a little bit about that and then also about what you saw with your students and what any observations you had about students and people learning and choices they've made or anything like that?
Okay, sure. One of the things I'll tell you I've learned about history is that when I had difficulty with my teachers because I think I liked history better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I always did as a teacher is I told my students, I said, we're not going to memorize dates. Mm-hmm. As long as you understand that the French Revolution happened before the American Revolution happened, then right, we're good. That's what we're in. Why? That's mm-hmm. what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, I'd always throw out, okay, there are three specific dates you have to memorize, and I'd put them on every test in this whole class, and they'd have dates to memorize.
Right.
But the idea of just understanding what history is about people, his story, written story of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such a difficult question to really answer.
And I know it wasn't very specific, but...
And that's why it's such a big...
Yeah.
I think going back to what we said we're talking about before is what the information that we get is the information that we get. And you need to know where your information is coming from, I think, in the modern day world. When I went to get information, I went and looked through the paper catalog and I found the little card that told me on the shelf where the book was.
Uh-huh.
And I went and got that information, which hasn't changed in that book unless there's been a new edition, which is noted in the front of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So the information is all the same. But on the internet, you have to be really careful what you're looking at. An example I remember in college, one of my professors said that one of his early assignments was to give a report on the Holocaust, very general. A student came back, he looked on the internet, did a search, did one website, and came back with a Holocaust denial paper, and didn't look at anything else if there were other viewpoints.
Yeah.
And so that's crucial. You got to know where your information is coming from.
Right.
Now, I'll say this to the general population out there, that I have found that Wikipedia is generally speaking going to be fairly reliable. And the reason is because it's user moderated.
Right. So people are able to check it and go back and say, no, that's not right.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
And how did you know this? Because in the note, it shows where you... that.
Right.
So I think that's a good way to start.
And then
check those facts, too, if you really want to know.
Yeah. I was in a research class just this past spring, and my professor actually said, you know, if you don't know where to start with Wikipedia. Let that sort of inform the very beginning of your search and let that kind of lead you to wherever you're actually going to find your sources.
Yes.
But she's like, basically you need to, you know, give yourself an overview, but don't trust any of it until you really go to the source and you check it and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But it was actually pretty reliable, I think, at least for me.
Well, you know? It is. And the thing is, like with any narrative like that, you can go, you can get a general idea of what's going on with that topic. And then when you see a note in the text, you can actually go to look and see what that note says, and it'll tell you a book Mm-hmm. Or two books, maybe, that are all exactly on one particular part of that topic that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. Somebody who studied it all their life and wrote a book, everything about it. So the information's there, but we have to be proactive in looking for it.
Yeah.
And I think with the instant gratification and the speed of the internet and our expectations that are given us and we give ourselves, mm-hmm. I think sometimes we're less than studious about our sources on the internet. A lot of times we just look and see it's something we always see, place we always go to. It's hard because the internet right now is always trying to give us exactly what they think we want to see.
Yeah.
And that really limits our worlds, yes. in a big way.
It's so true. It's so, so true. That's a really interesting point about the internet as well. I mean, gosh, this conversation has so many different branches that we can go off into.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But just thinking about, the internet as opposed to before it was around, before you just had what basically your community library, or if you went to another community library, what you could physically find within your area mm-hmm. of information to read about. And now it's like we do have everything at our fingertips, but what is true, what is not true, what is someone's opinion versus what is an actual written fact, and then you can form an opinion off of that. Mm-hmm. It's just all this kind of stuff kind of does make it somewhat, again, overwhelming, I think, to start to learn.
Because there's more than meets the eye, usually.
Yes, right, absolutely. And as I, personally, I'm trying to read books, I'm trying to listen, I'm trying to, do what I can to learn more. But I think what's interesting is that I finally have, a big reason why I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, growing up, I had, it'd be interesting, it's good to know about these things. But I don't think it ever landed with me, or it wasn't ever told to me, or whatever, however it didn't connect. Is a lot of historical events, I was like, yeah, those are just numbers on a page. Those are just people who were, I don't know, to me, they look like little dolls in my mind. Like, they weren't real. They weren't, this maybe actually happened, but what is my connection to it? And now, as I'm seeing, I think what, honestly, right now in time, in 2020, is very much a historical thing that is going to change things, Mm-hmm. And so now I'm like, okay, I understand this moment in time, and I'm starting to live, right? To live history, like you're talking yeah, exactly. about. And so now I want to understand what has happened before. Now it gives me a connection. Now I'm like, I'm connected in because I want to make change here. What have people done before that has worked, hasn't worked? Mm-hmm. Why am I conditioned the way I am to think the way I do, versus it's all very interesting. And a lot of the stuff, especially say for instance racism and being a white person and having white privilege and the whole white supremacist world that we live in, all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of taking yourself, your ego down and trying to humble yourself constantly and saying, okay, my ego's rising up, I feel myself being like, well, whatever, this and this and this, and then I'm like, no, Anna, you need to check and look with a level head about what is the information that's actually presented to mm-hmm. you, and based on your biases, what are you being pulled to, but what else is there? What else can you listen to,
It's so true.
Yeah, there's so much, and I on this podcast, it's like I'm trying to be as honest as possible, and right now I think a lot of people are kind of like, do I talk? Do I not talk? I don't know what to say, because I'm in a learning stage right now.
Sure.
So
I want to tell you something with my 57 years.
Yeah.
And history repeating itself and what I've seen in human behavior, that if we don't talk about it and do it now, we're destined to argue about it in infinitum. It's just going to go forever, keep repeating.
Mm.
The time is now, and I'll tell you historically, it's the writing is on the wall. What brought us here today in this global world that we're in is this whole idea of colonialism and conquest.
That's the outdoor motorcyclist.
and the idea of conquest and getting resources from other people
yeah.
and utilizing them for your population.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing that since the first people started locking up the food 30,000 years ago. And we started building buildings to keep it in and to house the people who were privileged enough to hold the food.
Mm.
And I think this is just something that has happened. And now here we are in what year is this?
2020.
We have all of the resources on Earth have been captured. All of the people on Earth have been conquered. Everything is in possession of humans at this point. And there's nowhere else to go. We've always been able to go and get some more, or go get another person, or do something to keep the machine going. And it's an imperial machine, and it's got kind of a pejorative meaning for obvious reasons. But we're here now on Earth, and with the internet, every single poor person, rich person, everybody in between knows the situation for the first time in history. They all know that there's a huge situation that's about ready to repeat again, because the masses are going to rebel, and then they're going to take over, then they're going to set up their rules, and then everybody's going to maintain the rules, and then when it quits working for all the other people, then they're going to rebel and come back and set up their own rules, and like we always have done for history. Mm-hmm. But it's over now, because we all have to be on the same rules, because there's nothing else to go get, or no one else to conquer.
Right.
We're all here.
Yeah. You said it really well. I mean, I think, like, the concept of colonialism, I've seen it so much online, and a lot of different activists talk about, you know, down with colonialism, that sort of thing. And in my mind, it's crazy. I was brought up thinking colonialism was just what, you know, my English ancestors came over with.
Jamestown.
Right. That's what you were brought up to think. Oh, it's just called colonialism. But what is colonialism actually? I looked at the definition, and it basically, it's what you said. It's going to another, you know, group of humans and taking them, conquering them, so that you can exploit their resources.
Right.
I'm like, that's awful.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose. And the issue is, it became not only popular, it became popular. And this is like in if you were on the in crowd, it was all the rage.
Yeah.
You know, and then really, when one of our many conversations, we talked about missionaries going into traditional societies.
Yes, right.
During my research, because a big question in my own heart was, I had to answer some religious questions for me. And I studied a lot of colonial missionary work.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what century, what religion, what continent, anything. In every case that I found where missionaries went and visited a traditional society, they were welcomed. And when they came back again, they were killed on the beach. Slaughtered. Just get out of here. And I saw that, and it startled me. Well, I went on to do more studying about it. And one of the things that missionaries, where I have always found success in, is to gain converts from the periphery of society. The people who are in a society that they have a chance for affluence and wealth and fame and all that in that society, they're not going to come along with something new. The people that are the poor, the sick, the ones that are not having a chance for affluence in that society are going to gravitate toward the new, the missionaries.
Yeah.
And this is not just religious, it's anything. And that's part of the cycle of history, because these are the people that are going to rise up when they get enough power.
Yes.
Right. And
what they've learned from these missionaries, they'll take that as well.
Exactly.
So, and that's kind of like what the method is to find, okay, who is not doing well. And some people do it in the name of, like, well, we're going to try and help them through our faith, our religion. But oftentimes it's taking them away from, you know, just because, like, it's like, oh, this way of doing things doesn't work because you're not doing it this way. Let's do it this way. That's not even a whole conversation. I'd like to learn more about myself, but it's like, by taking those people out of their natural way of living, and the way that society has been functioning for, you know, however long since they were able to have a society, you know, however long that is, you're taking them out of that and you're replacing it with your own, you know, ideals. And I think one thing that will be interesting too is, hopefully this whole time of learning and uncovering will help us to also look at the history of other places and other cultures and other ways of doing things, to see, okay, we've been taught this way our entire lives, but there's other ways of doing it. Oh, wow. Yeah. What a novel idea. And there's other ways of doing it. And how can we learn from that, those histories that we have squashed and, mm-hmm. you know, basically torn apart to, you know, and exploited in that yeah. way, you know, to learn from those people that were living off the land and, you know, maybe in harmony, maybe not, but for the most part, you know, they were able to take care of themselves for a long, long time.
Well, it was different society than what the people coming in and took over brought
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
There's a good book that if you ever have a chance to read it, Quinoa Achebe, I think was the guy's name, Things Fall Apart. Mm. Real slender volume, not long, easy reading, mm-hmm. but it's a story of a man in Africa who wrote about a group of Western missionaries coming into their village and just describes the transformation that and the disruption and the additions and subtractions and everything in that society, mm-hmm. just describes it to a T. And your point of view makes a big difference. And I want to just, that book brought to mind yeah. a conversation I had told my dad about it. We talked about it. We both read it. Yeah. He's a missionary.
Yeah.
And I was a historian.
Yeah.
And it was just, I found it fascinating. Our reaction to that novel were exact opposite.
Wow.
He felt the missionaries had come in and saved these people from yeah. just squalor and heathenism. And my takeaway was, oh my God, these people just completely destroyed an entire people's way of life with something that was totally foreign to them.
Yeah.
Against their will.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it was just so that the point of view and understanding the background is mm-hmm. so important.
Yeah.
In every regard. And we don't always get that. So what yeah. I would say with history is as you go about and learn it, make sure you don't take it to the bank, whatever somebody tells you, unless you check it out. Because that's what
yes.
we get a lot of out here.
Yes, right. Yep. Or you get told one thing and immediately you're like, this is it. This is the truth. Or like, oh, I thought it was this way all the time. And someone brings up new information. You're like, oh, that's the truth. And so you'll go down that and maybe you're right, the perspective. So even, you know, with you and your dad, like your dad thought he was like, from what he was doing it from a good place. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is from a good place.
Exactly.
Right? So you're both trying to do something good, but you just have different information
exactly.
informing, you know, what you think about it.
And neither one of you are bad.
Right.
You're just completely different and opposite. And
yeah.
that's where we have to kind of, why can't we get along? I mean,
talk people, about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, we can't just not because, I mean, people have tried just genocide. They've in the past, they've just tried to get rid of everybody in their existence that didn't think like them.
Right.
And it's not going to work. Never. And it's
terrible.
Not. And well, yeah. So, I mean, just realistically, let's just get along. You know,
yeah.
that's all there is
talking
to
each other. And I, yeah, it's good to, like, even having this conversation. I'm glad we're having this because I was pretty nervous about, like, coming and having a conversation, you know. And I think one thing that came up in my mind is, like, that right now I think a lot of people are afraid to speak because they don't want to come off in the wrong way. They don't want
right.
to make a mistake. They don't want to say, oh, my gosh, I said that and now I regret saying that because that was, you know, anything I say right now I might not agree with in a week.
Right.
You know, I might be like, Anna, why did you say that? What do those words come out of your mouth sort of thing? But it's like we're constantly learning and we have to have the conversations. And if
yes.
we don't speak it, we don't think about it, we don't talk to other people, there's no way we'll get better.
No, it'll
yeah.
stay the same. It'll always be the same because that's the doctrine. That's
right.
the model. That's all there ever is. That's all there ever will be.
Yeah.
Unless we talk about it.
Right.
And talking about it, let's say this, something I really believe strongly that is terrible for us. It's encouraged by the forces that want to keep us all divided,
mm-hmm.
but this idea of not talking about religion and politics.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in our society and it's on
it
purpose. And if
mm.
the thing about religion and politics, if you're a religious person, it governs every part of your life. And in a lot of cases, we find it governs parts of other people's lives too, in a lot of regards.
Mm-hmm.
If you're and as far as politics, my goodness, it's our leaders that have control over our food, our clothing, our shelter, the supply lines for all these things. They're the ones that make our decisions and our personal public safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to talk about them with each other? Come
yeah,
on.
Right, right.
That's the kind of stuff that's encouraged. And I don't want to, I'm not here to talk about conspiracy, but it's real. It's not something that's new. It's something that's gone on from that's time people got up to the guy that's a leader next to him and say, yeah, you know about those people over there. You know, they're that way. Well, then they get bowed up and they get their team. And then all the people that are out join up and get their stuff and take it over. And it's just, not talking about it, all
yeah.
it does is create division and exclusivity.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I think so. I really do think so. And I think a lot of people are afraid to talk to each other too when they are different. And this is a little bit different. This is a different, I guess, topic. But I had a communications class a couple years ago where I had to talk to somebody that had a radically different ideology from myself about something specific. And I had to sit down and have a conversation with them. And then I had to write about it. And that for me was very scary because I was like, oh my gosh, the things that I have very strong opinions about, people do have very strong differing opinions from me about. And if I was to sit down with them, I was like, I'm in fear that they would get angry or they would, you know, get violent or they would get aggressive or something like that. So what I ended up doing is I chose somebody that I already knew, but I knew had a different thing. So it was actually a family member of mine and it was about hunting and it was about like animal conservation and things like that. And it was interesting about that conversation. It was a tough conversation to have because I don't know that either of us were necessarily swayed at all in our position, but I think that we were at least more understanding of the other person of why they think the way they do. And I think that it helped for me to understand, even though I don't agree with you, I can understand why you think that, therefore I have more compassion for you, and I still don't agree and I still don't support, but you know, I can see why you do what you do. And it was like, it gave me a bit less anger towards that person. And it then in turn, I mean, we're still friends. Like I can get along with them on like all sorts of ways, except for this one topic,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so for me, it's like typically people don't want to talk about it, you know, like,
and they never do.
Yeah, they don't talk about those things. And I'm like, this is something that's really important because what I found is that we were both for the conservation of animals.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought about it in very different ways.
Profound.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, this is really interesting because like you and I, in some ways, we're on the same team. But this is so polarizing, this way that we go about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, who knows, we don't talk, he lives on the other side of the country, so it's like we don't talk every day sort
right.
of thing, but you know, maybe our influences on each other can help each other understand different things or how to better resolve the situations that are at hand, all the issues that we do have with conservation around the world
sure.
about, you know, all the different populations and species that are going extinct and all these different things and being exploited and, you know, so I just think that conversation alone is kind of a good model for, yeah, like the things that are hard to talk about,
mm-hmm.
it's actually so important to talk about them.
Well, the when you're talking about sides,
mm-hmm.
you're on one side, they're on another, and I think we forget that as humans, we've sent a man to the moon in, what, a year?
Right.
And I think there might be a third choice.
Mm.
There might be out there. If you talk about it, you might find it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't talk about it, you're not going to find it,
right.
By golly.
Yeah, right? Absolutely, yeah. And who knows what that third choice could be, but...
Who knows, yeah, who knows?
Right, but it's like, if you can start to, you know, at least relate to another human being, and, you know, yeah, I think that kind of stuff is really interesting. And as we learn about, I keep looking at my notes here, like different social systems of that have created, say, for instance, America,
mm-hmm.
Then... You can kind of start to pick it apart and say, all right, what works for us, what doesn't work for us? Like, yeah, there's so much to go into.
Oh my goodness, I just sat here and had exactly the same thought, everything.
Yeah,
It's so, because what, the picture we have here in 2020, what's it, 250 years later, or whatever it's been,
mm-hmm.
Is this America? We recently have had a movement of keeping or making America great again, like it was different than it's always been. And the thing is that it's this body of I don't know what to say, mores and folkways, this white European heritage kind of vein that has always been like an assumed American ideal. I guess is what I want to say.
Oh, you know, what's interesting about that concept, too, is that I personally don't think America has ever been great in that way. It's been great in different ways,
mm-hmm.
but it hasn't been great in the way that even I was listening to the 1617, the Declaration of Independence was written a certain way, and when they wrote it, they did not truthfully enact it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, the what is it? I can't remember the exact words, but it's
all men are created equal.
Exactly. That's the one. All men are created equal. And that is not what they went by. Uh-huh. That is not for a long time. And she was talking about, it was so interesting. Abraham Lincoln, when he abolished slavery, he didn't do it for black people. He didn't do it for enslaved people. He did it for to stop the war, to win the war. And he brought 5 abolitionists into his office to speak with him to give them an offer of, if I abolish slavery, then we are going to send everyone that has been enslaved to a different country, not back to where they came from,
right?
Because they don't, but just to get them out of here. Because he said it is, what did he say? I can't quote him specifically, but basically that it was a stress and a strain for white people to have people that were freed slaves around. It was like this whole thing where I was like, oh my gosh, and the history books paint him as a hero.
Well, and that's, you know? that's the vein of history that I was saying, anything like that is good. Anything that's white is Thanksgiving,
right.
Pilgrims is good. Did you know, I learned it in that book I was talking about, Lies My History Teacher Told Me, I grew up learning the Pilgrims came to America to seek religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
and that they made they needed help from the Indians, they made friends with them, then they showed them how to do things. And in real life, the Pilgrims came here to a location that had already been settled for years, mm-hmm. it just hadn't recently because of pandemic diseases that had killed the population.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a location, and then they came, when they came here, they left a place where everybody had religious freedom, and they actually came here for the right to tell other people how to behave. They wanted to spread their religious ideas. So it was the opposite, the actual opposite
of what was
of
taught.
Reality. I was taught all the way through, this is the mid-20th century, in the 60s, and that's what I was taught, and it's an actual inaccuracy.
Yeah.
You know, and that gives you an idea about your people and your existence and everything about who you think you are.
Yes.
That's inaccurate.
Yes.
It's just a lie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's so much to it, you're right. But mm-hmm. I think the bottom line is we can just get out and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think I recently moved to a place where the population is racially homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
There are very, very few people that are not white in mm-hmm. my circle of world. And I came from a place where whites are maybe 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's interesting that a lot of the people who are from this place have really not even interacted with a lot of black people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people who are from this place for all their decades of life,
right.
and pretty much not had much personal interaction because they just don't have the opportunity. And I think that's a big, big part of the whole racially getting along thing is we don't know each other.
Yeah.
You know, we're living on, a lot of people are living on stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
I think
fear.
It's, we don't know, we don't talk about it. We just go ahead and see. And with the internet, a lot of people only get their ideas from certain specific sources.
Yes.
And these sources tell them certain specific things. And that's all that can ever exist.
Right.
Nothing else could even be important to think about.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to talking about it.
Yeah.
I think that's our biggest best.
Yeah, definitely.
Best bet
right.
for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it just reminds me of even just yesterday, somebody did tell me that I shouldn't have traveled to, you know, I've lived in Japan for a few years, and I shouldn't have traveled to Japan because it's so unsafe. And I'm like, wait, how did you get this information? Like, Japan is one of the safest places I've ever lived in my entire life. Like, I don't understand, like, I guess there might be a few reasons of why, the same reasons of why, like, they were talking about trafficking specifically. I'm like, there's trafficking here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say this to them because I was in that conversation. It was an elder person to me, and I just felt like, I don't want to be disrespectful. I'm in your home right now. I don't want to be disrespectful right now. But it was like a moment where I was like, where was this information relayed to this person? And, mm-hmm. and this is a thing out of fear. And for me, and, you know, part of me is like, I wish I would have said something of, you know, actually, that's not how it is. And there are, yes, that is a concern, you know, mm-hmm. but that's, it's so not true to what actually is there.
Yeah.
And but, you know, part of me is like, if I say that, then I'm going to come off as the young, righteous, like a young person sort of thing. So I didn't say anything in that moment. And maybe another time I'll maybe bring it up and say, hey, I thought about this. And, you know, I really like this, like thinking about a foreign country of being so unsafe. Like, and actually she had mentioned, you know, I had traveled to Zambia last year. And I was like, also, Zambia was incredibly safe. It's one of the safest countries in the continent.
Hmm.
And I was like, and I loved it there. Like I didn't say that to her, and I was just like, oh,
well, and that's an issue that we're not encouraged to do that. And mm-hmm. and I think we started our conversation talking about intergenerational communication and learning. Yeah. And I think that's an issue that a lot of times just completely destroys our chances of a better future.
Mm.
Is now, if you'd have gone ahead and said something, would that a person have felt like they were being questioned or anything? I don't know, as an old person. I can't tell you how many people my age I've met that just know exactly how it's supposed to be, and by God, I can't believe people are not doing it this way. It should be that way. Why doesn't somebody make it that way? Because that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm.
Why were these kids these days? And I also have interacted with lots of young people who I was kind of shocked when somebody called me a boomer one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's actually developed kind of a tongue-in-cheek pejorative meaning.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing that I think the communication in between individuals is important. But I think if we're going to fix this issue that we have, this conflict we have that's caused by the repeating of history and not respecting one another as humans, then we got to talk about it. And I think talking about it, this is a good place to start, is talk about the racial.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everywhere, and I think the reason it's coming to a head now, it's been an issue since the beginning. You said they didn't enact the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they didn't. The people that wrote it were slave owners. They weren't going to give up their wealth.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. That's what she's saying.
But the issue is with that particular document, when you read about what everything else they wrote and studied, they did give us this document that we can do that with.
Right.
We can. It was vague in certain spots. And when you go back and you read the discussion about the wording that they did in certain spots, these men knew that they didn't know what was going to happen in the future.
Right.
They knew that these racial and social disparities were wrong and they would have to end.
Right. They knew that.
And they weren't giving it up for themselves now.
Yeah.
But we have it in our hands. We can do this.
Yeah.
If the young people can listen to some of the old people, and the old people can listen to some of the young people, and between us, we don't have the luxury of waiting till the book comes out or the next year's Encyclopedia Britannica. Everything is right now, this instant, on the internet. Everything happens now. Everybody knows now.
Yeah.
So we talk about it now. We can create it now. Or we can go ahead and keep fumbling down the road and tripping and running into each other and having all kind of drooling messes and who knows what.
Yeah.
Or we can just talk about it and figure out what's going on.
Right.
Because everybody doesn't know the answer.
Right.
That's the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
You find somebody that knows exactly the answer, look out, beware, stand back, because they probably don't.
Yeah,
so
true. I mean, hey, those are really wise words. I feel like this is like a good point for us to even just close up this episode. Like, just, you know, everybody that's listening, on the point of just talking about it, just lowering your swords and your shields and just talking about it, you know, and I think that's I don't know how to say it better than you did.
Well, let me just leave it with this. If you feel like you can't stand seeing intolerance out there, make sure that you're not being intolerant of intolerance. Because if you are, you might want to reassess how you can help make it better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good hard lessons. Good, you know, in there. No, it's good. It's good. This is the stuff we need to think about and the stuff we need to learn about. And it makes me feel good that at least we're talking about it now. You know, we're starting.
And let's talk about it again sometime.
And let's talk about it, yes.
And
exactly.
Let's have everybody else talk about it,
all right,
too.
Yes, maybe next time we can go live and then we can have people call in and talk to us, too, you know?
Let's do.
Yes, good. So if you're listening now, we'll come again sometime soon. And you can call in and talk to us at that point, too. But for everybody that's listening, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Jean, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I feel really, really blessed to have you on here and share your wisdom with me. And as I am a young sprout, and you have gathered much wisdom into your tree-ness. So
very nice.
So I'm really grateful and thankful that you're able to join me today. And for everybody that's listening, please send over any questions and thoughts that you have. Let's make this a bigger conversation. So thank you, everybody. And I hope that you were all listening, this brought you a little back to feeling more like yourself and closer to who you are. Peace.
Peace.
It's getting crazy. All you people out there, listen now. I'm thinking maybe that it's time we all start gathering round. Let's get together.